All right, welcome everybody to Lecture 54 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. The title of today's lecture is From Stamps to Tea. So we are going to be going from one to the other. We're going to be seeing the argument between the colonists and their government that wants to control them ever more and to new degrees. It's going to be an argument that escalates. In other words, one that gets to be stronger and stronger. And it begins, just a reminder, with the writs of assistance. And everybody in this class should be able to tell me what writs of assistance are. I think that if we move forward without knowing that, we are making a mistake. So I want to see hands up here on who can describe what writs of assistance are. I see one hand. I see two hands. Three. The hands are slowly going up here. All right, so Anna, I don't see your hand. So you don't feel like you can tell me what writs of assistance are?
I'm not exactly sure what it means.
Okay, that's important. So what, the word writ, what did we say that has to do with?
Something written.
Something written, okay. And it was a written note having to do with assistance. Who was supposed to assist whom in doing what?
I think that the people were supposed to assist the government.
In doing what? You are on the right track. Okay, what were they looking for? What was the government so interested in now?
Not so sure.
Not so sure, okay. Jeremy, what was the government looking for now that they wanted assistance from people and had to get writs to get their assistance?
I don't know.
Okay, fair answer. Nemo, go ahead.
It tells that police officers could go into your home or business at any time.
To do what?
To search.
Mm-hmm, but for what? What are they searching for?
To see if you're a smuggler.
Okay, there we go. Writs of assistance were written papers that said you had to assist police officers who were looking for things that were smuggled. What does that mean to be a smuggler? What does that mean, smuggled goods? That's an important word. Abby?
A smuggler is somebody who trades with someone besides the home country.
Okay, in this case, that's a pretty specific definition, which is true, but it's not the meaning of the word smuggler. So that's a good start, but it's not the meaning, full meaning of the word. You want to try again, Abby?
It's somebody who trades with somebody they're not supposed to.
Supposed to? By whose judgment?
The King of England or the King of their...
More general. A king is an example of a what? A monarchy is an example of a what?
A ruler.
A democracy is another example. A republic is another example. What are those all examples of?
Government.
Okay, that is the definition of the word smuggler. A person who trades against the rules created by the government. So that is a challenging word, isn't it? Because how do we decide whether somebody should be allowed to trade or not? And if we use that word smuggler, does that feel like a comfortable word? Are we feeling good about somebody smuggling? Words are very important. How we use words matters a lot. So if we go ahead and use that word smuggler, we're going to feel bad about about somebody. It doesn't sound like a compliment, does it? Did you ever walk up to somebody and say, "You're such a smuggler. You're such a great guy, you smuggler, you"? Does that sound like something people would say? People wear t-shirts that say, "I'm a smuggler"? Right? No, it doesn't, does it? So it sounds like a bad thing. But the challenging question is, so what if the government made a set of rules? Is the set of rules correct? Does it respect people's rights? Or does that set of rules attack people's rights? This is the most important question. This is the most important question. Rosetta, put your hand down unless you have an answer. Okay, so when you're thinking about government rules, you have to always think whether or not they are right or wrong. Because King John made a government rule. The government rule was, give me all your money. So what did the lords do? Did they just say, oh, it's a government rule, so we're going to give King John all our money? What did they do? Oh, no. Come on, you guys. Help me out here. What did they do? The lords and King John. Patrick.
The lords did not do that, and they captured him.
And forced him to?
Sign the Magna Carta.
All right. Now we are seeing the ancestors of the American Revolution. We are seeing men who are capable of looking at the rules created by the government and deciding for themselves, independently, whether or not those rules are for rights or against rights. And if they are against, you have to decide how important that is. Because every time a government makes a rule that is against your rights, you become a little bit more of a slave. A little bit more and a little bit more. How much of a slave are you willing to be? How much? 60%? 42%? How much, Patrick?
Below zero.
Below zero. Good answer. So that is what your namesake would agree to as well. Okay, so this is why this is so important. Mr. Powell is not letting go of this writ of assistance. And I think that you guys need to stop here. And every household in this program needs to stop and get back to those writs of assistance and figure them out for real. Don't let yourself be lazy here. I'm sensing a little bit of laziness. I'm sensing a little bit of non-effort. Because those hands are not going up. And I think that I've explained it quite a few times and quite well. So, you know, you can go ahead and tell me, Mr. Powell, no, I don't think you did a good job. But that's fine. You can bring that up if you like. But we've been over this ground, I think, a few too many times here. So we got to get this. Because if we keep going into this revolution, and you don't appreciate what it's about, then it's not going to be the greatest thing you ever heard in history. And if it's not, then that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And I don't want to do that. I'm not satisfied with anything less than everybody understands that the American Revolution is the greatest step towards freedom ever taken by human beings. So we gotta have some good thoughts here. We gotta have an understanding of these questions. Okay, that's how important it is. So go back and read those notes. You've got those week 19 class notes. Read them. So now we're gonna have to keep going though, and at the same time, right? We can't have the rest of the course be, this isn't the history of the writs of assistance. This is American history. So we got to get moving, but I feel uncomfortable about continuing if people are not understanding. My job is to teach, not just to speak. I can launch words into the empty space forever. That doesn't do anybody any good. I've got to know that you guys are getting it. And so I ask questions, you guys need to ask more questions. Ask me questions. Tell me when you don't really understand. Okay? That's your job. We got a partnership here. When you have a teacher and students, they are partners in learning. So I do my job as best I can. I try to ask you as many questions to see whether or not you understand. And it's your job to try to answer. Not just to sit there and hope that somebody else in the class is going to raise their hand. Don't be that person. Be the person who raises their hand, gets the answer wrong, gets the help of the teacher, and moves forward. Becomes a better person by knowing more. There's no shame in not knowing an answer. There's only shame in refusing to know. In not making the effort to know more. That is shameful. I really firmly believe that. In just sitting around and not trying. You have to put out an effort to learn. So hit those hand-raising buttons and ask questions. Hit those hand-raising buttons and answer questions. Put yourself out there and try to learn more. This is amazing stuff. I gotta tell you, I love this stuff. I cannot express to you how much I love this material. And that's because it matters. That's because the United States of America is the greatest country in the history of the world. And if you can't see that, I'm not talking about you guys because you're too young yet to really get it. But if you're a grown up and you can't see that, I weep for you. Because you are not a full human being. So I don't want you guys to grow up and not have that. I don't want you guys to grow up and be like all too many people now. Listening to mind-dead music, watching mind-dead television shows, walking around mind-dead, uneducated, unthoughtful, unmindful, not understanding what's out there. There's so much amazing things. There's so many amazing things to learn and to know. It's wondrous. And so we got to be a team here. Pull together. Learn more. Be more ambitious. More active. Writs of assistance matter. I know it's hard. It's always not always easy to see. But so sometimes that's why I have to stop and really show you as best I can how much it matters, what's at stake, what's involved. It seems repetitive sometimes. But sometimes that's the only answer. Repeating and emphasizing, going over the same ground to make sure that we understand it. So tomorrow I'm going to ask you guys, what were writs of assistance? Everybody here should have an answer. And should be able to tell me what's at stake. The government wants to force you to do something. Do you do it? Can you understand what to do? Because sometimes when the government is going to force you to do something, that's right. Who can give me an example of rules created by governments that make sense to follow? What's a rule that makes sense? Walker?
The Magna Carta makes sense.
That's a good one. But actually, I'm hoping that's a good answer, Walker. But I'm talking about more kind of nowadays what you see around you. What are things that are illegal? And that makes sense that they are illegal. Walker?
Drugs are illegal.
All right, that's a tricky one. I do not agree with you on that one, but we're not going to debate it. So, let's have another one. Jeremy.
Smoking.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you see, this is the world that we live in, that we are drawn to the idea that if people, smoking goes with drugs and it goes with alcohol and it goes with any yummy food that might be bad for you, like chocolate cake and big sodas and so on. And you guys are not really, haven't paid attention to this very closely. If somebody wants to eat something, if somebody needs to take a drug that they want to take, that one is not going to be a good example. What is an obvious thing where one person destroys somebody else's rights and that's illegal? Nash.
Littering?
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to help you guys here because no. How about murder? Can people go around in a regular society killing each other? Now we got a good example here. This is clear cut. Can you have freedom in a society where some people walk around and kill other people? Is that legal? In any possible sense? Absolutely not. This is what it, that's what I'm trying to show you, a clear case here where one person takes away the rights of another. And the founding fathers would say the job of a government is to protect people's rights. So who does that for you? When does it make sense? So, Abby?
Government.
Yeah, and they're called the police. They're called the police, and their job is to protect your rights. If there's a criminal on the street, and he's going to attack you, the job of the police is to stop him. So that's a case that makes sense. Do you want to live in a world where people don't follow the laws about murder? That's a real crime. So, that's what I'm talking about here. It's perfectly understandable at your age to not have a clear picture here of what is, which laws are good and which laws are bad. That's what history is about, to see, to look at examples and to think about this. If somebody takes away somebody else's life, that's the most fundamental right. That's why Thomas Jefferson wrote, "You have a right to life." Number one. Everything else goes along with that. Okay, so this is what we are about here. We are about learning about these issues and why they matter so much. And if somebody from Virginia wants to trade with somebody from Massachusetts, and they want to trade corn and tobacco, and there's a rule that says you can't do that. That's smuggling. Now, wait a minute. Whose rights are being violated by that? One person giving another person corn. Another person gives the other person tobacco. Oh, whose rights are being violated there? Abby?
No one.
No one's. Right. So this is where we have this challenge of figuring out what's right and what's wrong in terms of governments. Okay. Big. I know this is big. I know this is big, but thing is, what I see around me is a lot of people who don't take these things seriously. And it makes no sense. It's really, it's more than disappointing to me that people don't talk about these things properly. And history is the subject that I love the most to teach because it has all these important questions in it. Okay, now we got to move on. And I got to move more quickly than I intended to here, because while it is I want to show you things that matter, I also got to keep going with the story. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck here. So we're going to skip a couple things that I thought I was going to talk about and move to. Let's see here. I got to make a quick set of choices about what to skip and what not to. Yeah, I guess we're going to have to do this. Here we go. Stuff that I think I can't skip. All right, so what we're going to look at right now is after the Ritz, after the Proclamation, after the Sugar Act, now we have the Stamp Act. The government in the British government wants to force you to pay them in order to get a diploma. They want to force you to pay them in order to have a newspaper. All right, so now the colonists are getting angry, and they're saying, this is wrong, And Patrick Henry stands up in the Virginia House of Burgesses and says, "This is wrong." And of course, some people are saying, you're a traitor. You are against the king. You don't want to follow the law. Now, Patrick Henry says, we have got to think clearly about this. I'm sorry, that should not have disappeared. And here's how we're going to do it. They're called the Virginia Resolves. So Patrick Henry managed to get the House of Burgesses to agree that these things are true. So we're going to read them one at a time and see what it is that he said was so wrong about the Stamp Act. So, one reader per resolve. Patrick, I want you to start with number one, please.
The colonists are English citizens.
Okay, number one. If we're going to think clearly about this Stamp Act, Patrick Henry says, we need to accept and understand and establish that the colonists are English citizens. Okay, we are not people of France, we are not people of India, we are people of England, and therefore our English laws apply to us. Okay, specifically Wyatt number two.
Colonial charters give colonists the same rights as Englishmen.
All right, that's number two. In other words, this is how we know in the law of England, charters are given by the king and colonists are Englishmen because the charters say that they are. So this is to be established here. Okay, number three, Abby.
We have a history of self-governance recognized by England.
Okay, such as, what was the first parliament in America?
The Virginia House of Burgesses.
This is exactly right. So, and then other colonies had them too, until such time as there were parliaments in every colony. And this is the way that it's supposed to work. Ever since who? Who was that guy who made the first parliament after King Henry III rebelled against the Magna Carta? Do you remember that hero of English history? No, his name has slipped past everybody. Simon of Montfort made the first parliament. Okay, so that's, now we have parliaments in America. That's the way that we make sure that the Magna Carta and the laws that respect Englishmen are followed, is we have parliaments. Okay, Dana, number four.
Only colonial assemblies can tax the citizens.
Okay, so in order to have taxes, dear kings, you have to have a council. The Magna Carta said that. In the Magna Carta, it was called a common council. And then Simon of Montfort made the parliament. And that became how taxes are raised. You have to have a parliament. And the colonies have parliaments. So if you want to make taxes, you got to use the parliaments. This is English life. This is English life. Okay. What's wrong? Okay, I'm sorry. Just checking on something. Rosetta, number five.
Colonists do not have to obey unjust laws from England.
Ooh, now that's getting to be interesting and strong, isn't it? Who would be an example of somebody not following unjust laws from English history?
The barons.
The barons and the Magna Carta. And the second example would be Simon of Montfort. Okay, very good. So, this is the English tradition. And then, the final and strongest statement. Jack, read that for me.
Anyone who denies the law is an enemy of the colonies.
Anyone who denies the law is an enemy of the colonies. Wow, that's powerful. So this is what the Virginia House of Burgesses said after Patrick Henry threw down the gauntlet. Here he is, throwing down the gauntlet. He said, we are faced with a crisis. The government of England wants to treat us like slaves. But we are Englishmen. recognized as such through our charters with a history of self-governance, and only the House of Burgesses can put taxes on Virginians that have only to do with the life of Virginia. Otherwise, it's unjust. That's a big word. That means wrong. And we don't have to follow wrong laws. Anybody that says so is an enemy of the colonies. Wow. So this is where the argument starts to get really heated. The colonists, thanks to Patrick Henry, thanks to James Otis before him, and now Patrick Henry is the second great hero of the Revolution. He is stepping forward and helping everybody to see what it is you need to know in order to be free. These are the things you need to know. If you understand these properly, then you don't have to follow a law that is unjust. Wow, that's a big deal. And so people in the colonies, this became a really big issue. People in other colonies, people in Massachusetts and Virginia started to write each other. People like James Otis and Samuel Adams and John Adams up in Massachusetts. And then we got Patrick Henry and a few other interesting characters. Let's say Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, characters like that in Virginia. They're starting to write each other. And so they're starting to feel connected, more closely connected to each other than ever before. And they're saying that we need to make sure that Britain understands that you can't have taxes without a parliament. And, well, they had a special way of expressing that. So I'm going to put that underneath number four here. The way of expressing that. Was a phrase that the founding fathers liked to use at the beginning of the revolution. No taxation without representation. This goes right back to the Magna Carta. If the king doesn't even talk to you, doesn't even call a common council, then you, the barons, do not have to pay the taxes. If you don't have a parliament, no taxes. Okay, because otherwise, if there is no parliament, now where is my diagram? Oh, there we go. If there is no parliament, and if there is no representation, then this side disappears. And only this side is left. So that was their thinking. No taxation without representation, because without a parliament, without your House of Burgesses, this side doesn't have a defender. And so the tug of war completely goes over to this side. And rights are destroyed. So that's it. They said, we're not going to pay the Stamp Act. And the government back in Britain kind of panicked and they said, okay, we're going to take it away. We're not going to have the Stamp Act. But meanwhile, they passed two new laws. Right after they repealed the Stamp Act, the next thing that they did was they passed a law called the Declaratory Act. Now, remember words, meaning names of things matter. Declaratory Act. What does that sound like? What was involved? What do you suppose, without knowing what the substance is, what do you suppose was involved in the Declaratory Act? A what? What word is inside of declaratory? To do what, Nemo?
Declare.
Yeah, so the government of Britain was going to declare something. So they said, okay, no more Stamp Act, but we declare that we have the right to tax you in any way that we need to. That's what the Declaratory Act said. Okay, no more Stamp Act, but we declare that we may tax you whenever we want. Well, that's the kind of thing that King John would have said. Right? To his lords. He would say, I need the money, give it to me. I declare that I'm the king. So this is a really bad sign that the parliament in Britain and the king would say to the colonists, we're going to tax you however we want. Get used to it. Get ready, get used to being a slave, because we're going to make you slaves. And then what they did was something really clever. They passed another act. So I'm going to go ahead and type these up here. Rosetta, go ahead. You trying to ask a question, Rosetta?
No.
Oh, okay, your hand's up, so that confused me. Okay, put it down. All right, so we've got, I'm going to type it up here. We have 1765, we have the Stamp Act. And then after that, we have 1766, the Declaratory Act. So the Stamp Act was repealed, which means what? Repealed means canceled, okay? 1767, a new set of laws called the Townshend Acts. Okay. So now what the Townshend Acts did was they said, okay, you colonists, we know that you don't like it if we make laws over here in Britain that have only to do with your life over in the colonies. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a new set of taxes that have to do with trade with England. Ha! Gotcha! Right? Because if you were a colonist, you were supposed to agree to what basic idea? What is a colony again? Everybody here is supposed to know, what is a colony? What's it for? Walker?
Something to trade with, so you won't have to trade with other countries.
Yes, and a colony exists to serve what?
The place to live.
It's a place to live and also to make money.
For whom?
The home country.
The home country, okay? Everybody here has got to work on this key thought. A colony is something to serve the home country. So you might say, American colonists, that we can't make laws to change the way you live over there in the colony. But you and I and we all know that a colony is supposed to serve the mother country. So if you're going to trade with us, we get to decide. We are the mother country. We get to decide how that's going to work. So we are going to make it so that those things that you trade with us are more expensive. We're going to put taxes on trade with the colonies. Pretty clever, because now if you want to be a colonist, a good, proper colonist, you're not supposed to be upset about that. That's supposed to be something that the government can do and that pretty much everybody agrees should be able to do. Well, so far anyway. So that's what the Townshend Acts were. New taxes. It said, this has to do with the home country, so we're going to tax you about that. Okay. So, well, after this, we start to have kind of a slowdown a little bit. Okay? After this, now we're going to go long because we had to have a big discussion at the beginning of class. So we're going to go a little bit long. Okay? If you can't stay, I understand. But after the Townshend Acts, we got to get to this T thing here. And so what happened after the Townshend Acts was there was a little bit of a lull. Things, because the Stamp Act was repealed and the colonists kind of felt good about that. And they didn't really have a good argument as to say why the government couldn't put taxes on trade with them. So things kind of settled down for a little while. But there were cases, there were kind of famous cases, we're not going to talk about the details, of smugglers getting into trouble. Because they still didn't want to follow the laws of trade, and people were writing letters to each other and writing letters to the newspapers, and people were talking about, what is this new problem that we have? We seem to be living in a new time where there's a big argument about whether or not the government can do certain things to us. And so things slowed down for a while until 1770. And what happened was, because there were so many smugglers, the government started to bring in troops to try to catch them. And the government was keeping lots of soldiers, in particular in the city of Boston. And it started to be a part of life that soldiers were walking around in the town. And the people were pretty upset about that, because it felt like they were being ruled by their own army. And so it got to 1770, there came to be a big kind of crisis. And it's called the Boston Massacre. We're going to take a little bit of a break here from where things kind of slowed down a bit, and there was just more of an argument, and then things got really, really terrible because there was an event called the Boston Massacre. So what had happened was there were lots of troops in the city of Boston trying to catch smugglers, and there were a lot of arguments between, you know, insults thrown at people and people cursing each other, and the argument was getting really, really mean. And so James Otis ended up dying after, he was an older man by this time, and James Otis ended up dying after getting into a violent argument with one of the officials of the British government. And that, of course, got people really angry, sparked their anger. They felt like he was one of their greatest heroes and a man who understood the rights of the colonists. So there came to be a night where some people that eventually start to become known as the Sons of Liberty organized a demonstration to show the British government how angry they were with the way that they were being treated. And they went to the place where the government collects taxes from people. It was called the Customs House. And these group of protesters started to loudly yell and threaten how they were going to do terrible things to the government officers. The government officers called the troops. And there came to be this jostling of a big crowd of people with the troops and their weapons there to prevent them from doing anything terrible and being really violent and perhaps killing somebody or doing something terrible. And, well, people started throwing snowballs at them, which sounds funny, but these characters were more than mischievous. They were really quite violent in some cases, and people were putting stones inside the snowballs. All right, if you get hit by a snowball, it's not such a big deal. But what if somebody puts a stone inside of a snowball? Then you get cut on your forehead. It hurts really, really badly. It feels terrible. And so there was a lot of yelling going on, a lot of snowballs being thrown, and it felt really tense. And one of the young soldiers panicked and fired, defending himself against people who were being really, really terrible towards him, truly. And that started some shooting in the demonstration. And some of the protesters were killed. Three American colonists were killed and eight wounded. And this came to be known as the Boston Massacre. So, of course, this made the people that much angrier with the government, because they felt the presence of the troops in their lives leading to the government shooting people during a demonstration. They couldn't forgive that. That felt like it was a terrible, terrible thing. So what the government did after this was it removed the taxes of the Townshend Act, except one. We're almost done here. We've got to go 2 more minutes. After this, the government repealed the Townshend Acts except one tax. And I think Nemo knows which one it is. Nemo?
Tea.
Tea, the tax on tea. So now the whole argument with the mother country became about tea. Right? So everything else was, you know, every time the government, the people protested, the government backed off, and then it tried something new, and then they protested, and in this case there was this terrible violent event, And so every time things got really bad, it seemed like the government backed off. Except now they were always trying to find a trick. And so they kept the tax on tea. And what was really clever about the tax on tea was they actually reduced the price of tea. And so the tea in the colonies was less expensive than the tea in England, which sounds pretty good, right? But the whole purpose of lowering the price of the tea was to get the colonists to accept the tax. So that was the tricky part. You pay less, but there's a tax in there that you are agreeing to pay. Right? And there's a principle that we might have to talk about called in for a penny, in for a pound. So you might have heard that expression before. You should ask your parents what that means. And so what was happening was the government was trying to get the colonists to agree to a tax that, well, they wouldn't be able to see quite as clearly, was still there. And, well, these Sons of Liberty again, these men who were smugglers, and, you know, people would say they're bad people and so on, who believed in rights, well, they decided we're going to have to show the government we mean business. We're going to have to show them that we're not going to accept this slavery by little bits. And so they attacked a ship in the Boston Harbor in 1773 that was full of tea, and they threw it in the water. This is called the Boston Tea Party. All right, we've been here for a long time, and I know it was a big effort today. We're going to stop there. I just needed to get there because we've got a lot to do. So now you can see that this is getting very, very serious. They were destroying very expensive property. And in order to protest the government's violation of their rights, this is getting to be stronger and stronger argument. It's involving people who are dying. It's involving people's property being destroyed. So this is getting serious, isn't it? Tomorrow we'll see that it breaks into a war.
Of course.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for your efforts. Challenging class, I'm sure. So we're going to have to go. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
And I just noticed that all the stuff is just getting closer to the American Declaration of Independence.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.